Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, February 11th.
Good morning.
Jen, it means in 3 days we have
Valentine's Day.
Ooh. Yeah, don't forget that. February comes around, you become obligated to get presents.
Yeah, to buy sugar. What are you going to have?
What am I going to have as far as what?
I mean, what are you going to do?
Oh,
sorry.
I have my no brain fucking is idea. Like,
my brain is in full static activity today.
Yeah. No, I don't do anything on Valentine's Day, especially when I don't have anybody in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm excused this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not getting anything.
That's good.
Yeah. Usually it's like people or women do expect something, you know, and I used to hate that, you know, because I'm like, I'll get you a present any day of the year. Why do we have to subscribe to this bullshit? You
know? Yeah, totally.
But it doesn't go over very well.
Yeah, even just a little something small, like a single rose or a card. Yeah. You know,
I know they need to know you think about them, you know.
Right. You don't even have to buy anything, even if it's just. For me, a lot of women are different, but for me, it's a matter of just spending time with a person.
Right.
You know, like yeah. The time is what's most valuable to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
But no prints for you this year, huh?
Yeah. No, definitely not. It could not be farther from that. So I'll probably just get together with a friend and make some dinner.
I know. I think we sort of like both of us got comfortable with our situation, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I don't know.
I've been single for so long.
I know. Me
it's
too,
so okay.
You know? It's like I reject everybody pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
definitely
wow.
Reject everybody.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it self-preservation or am I just not interested? I feel like if the right person came along, I would be totally open to it.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Totally. But like, I had a crush on someone that I met on set this past film that we just wrapped. I like totally had a crush so bad. Like I have not had a crush like that in so long.
Wow.
Yeah. And he has a girlfriend, but yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. No, totally. Story of my life. I'm like, ah, that's probably what attracted me to him. Is the fact that he's completely unavailable.
Yeah. Why does that happen? I wonder.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of therapists would say that it's a self-preservation thing.
Uh-huh.
We're afraid of getting hurt, so we go for what's already unavailable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a thing. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like I would be really open to it. I feel like, here's the thing, I feel like a lot of people settle for dating people that they're not that interested in, that they don't really feel that spark with because maybe they haven't dated in a while and someone's showing interest and that's what's attractive to them.
Right.
But I have this rule with myself that I always tell my friends, like I have a friend who was dating this guy and after the first like 3 to 5 dates, every single time there was like, it was just complaining about him. And I'm like, my personal rule is if you have to convince yourself you're not that into it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when I do like someone, I don't have to convince myself.
Right.
I'm just
it's
like,
natural.
This is great. That's great. This is cool. There's this one thing, but that's great. That's great. Like, you're counting all the pros. And when you're not that into someone, you're counting all the cons.
That's true.
You know? So, it's definitely...
I know. I'm not going to go with anybody I'm not into. I'm telling you that.
Yeah,
you
same.
Know? That sucks.
Yeah, same. Not
yeah.
at all. It makes me feel worse.
Yeah.
When someone I'm really not into is interested in me, I'm like, ugh, no. No. You know?
Yeah. I know, but these things happen, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're liked by the people that you don't necessarily... want to be with you.
Yeah,
know?
Totally.
Yeah, sometimes the other way around.
I just finished watching this show. I binge watch it. It's called Sex Education.
Oh, I started that. But
it's really good.
Is it really
yeah,
good?
Yeah, stick with it. I don't remember the first season as much because I'm pretty sure I watched it when I was living in New York and just like smoking pot constantly and like not present at all. But I just finished season 2 and it was like monumental, incredible, incredible, incredible. I really loved it. And this one, the main character, he really loves this girl that from the first season, and she kind of comes back, and he's already dating somebody else at this point. And he's dating this young girl. She's like, I mean, that's irrelevant. They're in high school. Everyone's young. but, you know, she's really sweet. You know, they really get along, this and that. And then they're about to lose their virginity, excuse me, to each other. And, you know, he's kind of like he's the one kind of like, I'm not sure, because he's still really in love with this other girl. And then the girl that he's currently dating, turns out she's, you know, interested in someone else, and it's a girl. So she's like, I think I might not be into dudes, you know? Wow. And so this whole thing of like him, my point is he's convinced himself that he's interested in his current girlfriend when really he's still in love with somebody else, when he doesn't even have to think about it, you know? But he's spent so much time convincing himself to be with this other girl. For whatever reason.
I know. And that's the thing. It's like you convince yourself because you don't want to be alone or something. So you just go with whatever's available.
Right. And it's nice for like to have somebody who's interested in you, who like wants to spend time with you. Right. You know, they want to take you out somewhere or like just, you know, spend time with you, you know, and just like that human connection, like the human touch is, I think, important to a lot of people. And people would rather be with somebody that they don't really feel 100% vibes with,
right,
than not have that at all.
Yeah.
So
I don't think it's about like laundry lists, you know, I mean, that's why I don't think online dating is that great, because you have all these expectations and you don't know that you're going to have them all. You
right.
know?
And there's also people you're going to swipe no on that you totally could have connected with in person. That,
right.
You know, like I have a friend who is fantastic, and I definitely, we kind of like had a thing at one point, but I've seen his photos that he posts on social media, and I'm like, I would never have swiped right on you with these pictures, like ever, you know?
Really?
And it makes you wonder like who you're missing.
Yeah,
you
that's true, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just catalog shopping for people.
It is, you know?
Yeah, it's messed
It's like a game, you know, you swipe right and left, it's...
Yeah, I mean, Hinge told me that I've run out of options under my criteria in LA, and I was like, really?
Really?
Yeah, I was like, maybe
like permanently or what?
I mean, every time I go on, like, maybe, like, once a month, it's been like that for almost 2 months now, and once a month it'll be like, oh, here's a new... Here's like three more people for you to check out. Yeah.
So you went through all of it.
Yeah, there wasn't that much, though. It's not like I was really hustling either.
Yeah.
You know?
What, are you looking for someone 3 miles away from you or something? Or?
No, I mean, Hinge does a certain... I think I did within like 30 miles.
Okay, that's
is my,
pretty good.
Is
that's
my
reasonable.
Area. Yeah, which is Although more than a lot of people are willing
exactly,
to do.
Exactly, that sucks. 30 miles is far, you know?
In LA, it's far, And anywhere else in the world, it's like a 30-minute drive, you know? Exactly. In LA, it's like
it's
2 hours.
Hour
Totally.
Absolutely, you know? And then driving back.
Yeah, it's another, a commitment. It's a commitment.
It is a commitment. But sometimes you'll do anything to be... to find somebody, you
it's
know?
True. I actually met a guy in traffic the other day.
You did?
I did. I was in like hour and a half long traffic. Where was I going? I was going from West Hollywood, which is like a shit show area in traffic. It's horrible. Like worse than, I mean, everywhere is horrible, but it's worse than a lot of places. And I was going to downtown because I had to, I had an appointment. I was getting my nails done or something for some events this weekend. And I'm stuck in traffic and I'm like literally like smacking the steering wheel, like, come on, let's go, like yelling out the window. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like pulling all my New York out. And I see this like cute guy drive by and I was like, you know, always checking people out in traffic because I'm a creep. And then he drives by and he sees me, and then our cars linked back up again, like twice more in traffic. And he just rolled his window down and he was like, hey, he's like, what's your name? And I was like, Jennifer, what's your name? Then he got my number and we've been talking all weekend. So
really?
I was like, that's really funny. Traffic wasn't so bad after all.
There you go. Never happened to me in my life.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to happen to you.
Totally. Wow. Yeah. I was like, that's interesting.
See,
because
I never even look inside cars, you know, I don't
really
care.
I'm always like, what's up?
Yeah. Oh well, you know, if it works for you, what the hell.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was quiet. I was going to go up north, and my friend said, and I changed my mind. Then they go, great that you didn't come because we both got sick over the weekend.
Yikes.
So, yeah. Now I'm considering a trip. I don't know where.
Yeah.
It's not a good time to travel because of the coronavirus.
That's
and
true.
And they're fucking like...
Is your brother still stuck over here?
Yeah. Yeah. They can't go back. They live in China, and he's here. I'm just thinking... They were lucky to end up here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where else would you want to be? You know, at least they got my mom's house here where they can stay and everything, you know? So
I heard from people on Reddit that it's way worse than people are even saying.
Well, that's what people believe, you know? I mean, the Chinese are saying that already they have 42,000 people diagnosed with it. How many people died, did they say? They're saying several thousand people or I don't know. They're not saying how many people have died so far in China. But they've got all these ships. Can you imagine being quarantined on a ship? They're making people stay in their cabins for like 14 days.
Oh my God, that's like solitary confinement.
It is, you know, and it's terrible. And there's several ships around the world, one in Japan, 3,700 people, one in New Jersey, Anthem of the Seas.
Oh, my God, really?
6,400 people stuck on the ship.
In New Jersey?
Yeah, since February 7th in the port.
Oh, my God, what is it?
Anthem what? Of the Seas.
Anthem of the
New
Seas.
Jersey, yeah. That's the name of the ship. But...
6,400 people.
Right. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, especially, right. I mean, New Jersey is a small state.
Yeah. So that sucks, you know. And then they got a couple of other ships around the world in Hong Kong and in Thailand. And so, you know, and many places you can't really fly to, like to China and stuff.
Yeah.
No airline will fly there. So... I'm just glad my brother's here and they're not, you know, going into this. Oh, they're saying the death toll surpasses 1,000 in mainland China.
Mm.
So people think it's a lot more, you know. I mean, it's a city.
That's
city,
what they're telling us.
Right. That city is like 16 million people, you know.
Oh, my God.
I know, and everybody's like freaking out about this and shit. So I don't know what's going to happen. But at any rate, the reason I brought it up is because I don't really want to travel anywhere so I don't get stuck, you know.
I know.
I was thinking even to Hawaii, you know. I mean, you know, if you're stuck there, you're stuck there. You can't come back, you know.
Problem
it's not
Hawaii,
a bad deal to be stuck in Hawaii.
Of course, but the problem with Hawaii is it's a commonly traveled to place.
Right.
You know, so you don't
Japanese, Chinese.
Anyone.
You know. And plus, you can't come back by car. I figured anywhere else, you know, you can take a car or
get yourself a little rowboat.
Right.
Go out in the middle of the ocean. Just pray there's no storms.
I know.
So
I'm planning another trip to the Northwest, except this time instead of Oregon, I want to go to Washington.
Okay.
And then like 3 hours, you drive from Seattle for 3 hours, you get to Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah.
And I've been there once, but there's a lot in the area that I want to see.
Yeah.
So I thought that might not be a bad idea, you know?
Yeah, totally.
You just take a road trip from Seattle.
I hear Canada's beautiful. I've only been once.
Yeah, in Washington too, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I wouldn't mind going. It's a little bit cold, but who cares, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather have cold than when I drove in Arizona in 120 fucking degrees, you know?
Yeah, that's hot.
That was...
That's hard on your car, too, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. And you drive through the desert. There's no gas stations or anything, you know?
That's scary. You got to really make sure you're fueled up.
I know. And the thing is, when I drove up there, I was only on half tank when I entered the desert. I didn't realize it, you know. I hadn't thought about the fact there's not going to be gas stations for hundreds of miles, you know.
Sure. Did you make it?
Yeah, I made it.
All know, right.
Made it.
Yikes.
But I freak out. As soon as I get to half a tank, I'm starting to freak out.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's good. You like to be prepared.
I do. You know, I
would keep an extra gas can in the car.
Yeah. Huh?
You know, for something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Just in case.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I never drive it down to empty, but, You know.
I definitely do.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, some people are like, you look at the quarter tank. Some people are like, oh, I have a whole tank.
We still got juice, yeah.
Right. The other one is like, like me, I freak out. It's like, oh, I got to get some gas. Better get some.
Yeah. I mean, I had a, my first car ever was a, it was a Mustang convertible, a 94 Mustang convertible V8 engine. And I had to put premium gas in it. And my, sometimes with older cars, like the way they process gas, like my mechanic told me it could get kind of sludgy. So it's good every now and again to run the gas tank all the way down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just so any like buildup or deposits you get down there don't affect anything. You can burn through everything and then fresh gas.
All right, I'll do that sometime. What the hell?
Make sure you're not in the desert, though.
I know. So, yeah, I don't know. And then everybody I'm asking is too busy to go and stuff, so I might end up going by myself again. I don't know.
It's okay, a little soul-searching trip.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I enjoy those because then you can do whatever you want. You don't have to be, you know, like the other person wants to go somewhere where you don't want to be or
the
something.
The worst.
You know?
Yeah, I know. I always like to iron out those details before I get on the trip. I'm like, okay, these are my goals for the trip. What are your goals for the trip?
Right.
Let's figure out the best way to execute both of these things,
That's
you know,
true.
And things to do. I like to do things by myself, too. So sometimes I'm like, if you don't want to do this, fine.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And then people think you're being people who aren't comfortable to do things alone think you're being weird about it.
Right. Exactly.
When I'm not being weird about it, I'm just like,
yeah, I mean, they haven't even have articles now. And I read at least a couple about how it's a thing to go by yourself to the movies and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I used to never want to do that, but then I started. It wasn't too bad, you know, but now I haven't been to the movies in years, it seems.
But it's good. I love it.
Yeah, you know, so, and, but I mean, I could never go to a sit-down restaurant by myself, though. You know what
Why
I'm
not?
Saying? I don't know. That's weird. You feel like everybody's looking at you because it's not like fast food where you go by yourself. But if it's a nice restaurant, I don't know.
You're like,
man.
I just want
it's
a nice
weird.
Meal and I happen to be out and about right now and I'm by myself. There's no shame in that.
I don't know. I would feel like everybody's looking at me even though nobody gives
they
a shit.
They definitely do. People feel guilty. They're like, oh, you're eating by yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like,
or
yeah.
they don't give a shit about you. They don't really see you.
That's okay too.
Most people, yeah.
I'm like, I'm just here. Yeah. Just don't ignore.
Yeah.
Ignore me.
I know. Well, thankfully, I always have someone to go eat with. But yeah, I mean, you can get to a situation where you don't, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. They're saying something. I pulled up something about loneliness.
Let's hear it.
That it can be bad for your health, you know. And they're saying that, first of all, it may affect your brain in a way similar to physical pain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely. I've heard that before.
That can hurt, huh, when you're lonely and you don't have anybody. It can keep you from getting a good night's sleep.
They say for women, women who don't who don't have a lot of sex can have menopause early.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know how true that is, but I heard that on two separate studies in the past, like, month. And I'm like, that's interesting.
So that's if you don't sleep enough? Is that what you're saying?
No, if you don't sleep with people.
Oh, with someone.
Yeah.
Oh, if you don't have sex.
Yeah, if you don't have sex.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, like, women, you better get going here.
Yeah, you better get going.
Loneliness can also increase your risk for dementia.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Wow.
Which kind of makes sense, though. You know, if you ever are sick and you spend a couple days by yourself, when you first go back out in public, it feels a little weird out there.
Right.
You know, you're kind of like, oh, where am I? You know?
I know. I know.
For sure.
But, you know, there's a difference between being alone and being lonely, you know?
Totally.
I mean, you can have people around you and still feel lonely, you know? And I think that's the way I feel, you know? I mean, I have a lot of people around me. I'm never really alone. Sometimes I am, you know? But And I feel lonely, but... but even when I do have people, I don't know. I'm just like, I seem to be more to myself than anything else, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel like you crave companionship and that's what you're missing?
No, not really. I mean, sometimes I do.
Yeah.
But not all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that interferes with my life in any way, you know?
Sure.
And I think once you find someone who's like a romantic partner, then you might feel less lonely, you know, because they're always there and stuff. But when you're with friends and family, sometimes it's just like, I mean, you're with them, but you feel like you can't really share your life with them and stuff.
Sure, of course.
So, yeah, but dementia, wow, that would be a scary thing.
It is scary.
It may contribute to premature death. Wow. Oh. Yeah.
Like die of a broken heart or something.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
Heart disease. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's also because it's a stress thing, too.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. It is. I mean, you know, it can be pretty tough. I mean, I've felt sometimes like it's painful almost, you know?
Absolutely.
And then finally they say it may break your heart literally. So, like, you can produce inflammatory response to tissue damage and, you know, so.
And that's all chemical science, too. Like, it's right. How your brain is speaking to itself. And, you know, when you're in a great situation where you're feeling a lot of love, you're feeling a lot of people around you, or you're just really happy with where you're at in the position you're at in life. Your heart feels full. Like, those are all positive chemicals that are really, really good for your body.
Right.
And then when we don't feel that way, those chemicals just weigh you down. And that's how we slip into, like, depression, and our brain wires start crossing and communicating improperly to themselves. Right.
Yeah, we're social animals, you know. We need to be around other people.
I know.
It's not healthy not to. You know, sometimes you don't have a choice, you know.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, well,
sometimes
you know.
Sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
It's okay. Well,
I know. I seem to be having a lot of difficulty finding someone, but again, I don't really go out. So how do you meet people? You know?
Yeah, that's not difficulty, just not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, the online thing is obviously not working for me. And I don't go out. So where the fuck am I going to find anybody? You know?
Yeah. We should go to a singles mixer.
Yeah,
I'll go with you. I'll be your wingman.
I was thinking, like, go to meetups.
Totally,
or something, right?
Yeah, if you want a buddy, I'll go with you.
Yeah,
totally.
Maybe you'll meet someone too. So you think I will, but you won't.
You might. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know about those things.
I'm open. Yeah. So the most important thing is to stay open-minded. Stay open-minded and mean it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I am, but I would try.
Yeah. That's the try.
Open-minded.
You got to try. That's why you need a good wingman.
That's true.
I'm the best wingman.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I bet you are. I could use one, really.
Single people always are the best wingmen.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no problem talking to people.
Yeah. Unless if you wanted to hit on them or something.
If I wanted to hit on them, then I'd just be like,
yeah, speechless.
Be like, nice pants. And they look at me, I'm like, I don't know why that came out.
I know, but sometimes, I have a hard time walking up to women, so wingmen would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, so
that'd
let's
be great.
Plan something.
Oh my God, I have no problem talking to women. I'll get one in the bag for you.
Good meetups, and then we'll go.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah.
I got you.
I know. Then you walk up to a woman and she go, "Oh, I kind of like you." Yeah,
and I'll be like, "Yeah, no, not for me, not for me. Sorry, lady. Sexuality is fluid, but not.
Yeah, not for me.
Not for me. Not in that way."
I know, man, it's pretty.
It's a hard one-way street.
It is, you know. It is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I almost like lost any interest in sex, you know, because I think maybe it's because when you don't have it for a while, you start getting frustrated. So then you just kind of go, you know what? I don't fucking need it.
Yeah, you just suppress it. Yeah. There's in sex education, there's one of the characters, I think it's the principal, his wife. They haven't had sex in a long time, and she's kind of feeling like she like misses that intimacy with him. And so she tries to kind of seduce him a little bit, and she's wearing like a really sexy like nightgown one night, and she comes over to him while he's reading, and he kind of looks up at her and he goes like, "We're not teenagers anymore. Why don't you go ahead and take that off?"
Oh, wow.
And she was kind of like devastated by that, you know.
Yeah.
She made a few other attempts and he just wasn't having it. And so she like divorces him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, you have to.
Yeah, totally.
When you don't have that attraction anymore.
Right. You know, it's like, I understand people can fall into like a pattern of like, we're busy, we have kids, we have jobs, like whatever. And then they don't have that connection much. But trying to reignite that connection and somebody not being on board with it, I imagine would be very devastating.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, when I think back, I don't think there was ever any woman that once I broke up with her, I wanted to have sex with her again.
Yeah.
You know, it
you're
was
just done at that
like,
point.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know how long it takes for me, but eventually I lose interest. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's not real love. I don't know. But sex, making love, a little different, you know?
Very different.
So,
I mean, it's a matter of like the difference between having a one night stand and then sleeping with someone you really care about.
Right. So maybe just when you get... maybe when you get to the point where you're not happy with them, then you just don't want to make love to them, you know?
Yeah,
you're just
totally.
Kind of like, I'm not attracted
anymore. It's a turn
anymore.
Off.
Yeah, you know? Even if you don't fight with them or anything, you don't have to, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to.
It's just like you fall out of love or you're not attracted to them anymore.
Right.
The novelty is gone, you know?
Or the way they're chewing grosses you out.
Right. And that's what concerns me is that... you know, eventually I get tired of it, and then so you can't stay with someone for too long, you know, for long enough. So I don't know what that is, you know, but they say, you know, everybody likes novelty, but you have to realize that that's one thing that goes, you know, when you're with someone. But there's a lot of things that are great about relationships.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you're going to really like season 2 of Sex Education.
Really?
I think it's going to resonate with you.
Oh, I'll check it out. But you're saying it's about like kids, like teenagers?
Well, yeah, it's like a more teen show, but but there's like a lot of adult movement in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Because sometimes it's hard to connect with these movies anymore, you know?
No, this is a solid one. This isn't very like teeny bopper problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what I watched on the first episode, what went on there, but... I tried 15 minutes and I kind of gave it up, but I'll try.
Totally.
I don't mind a good show, you know?
Yeah, no, I love it when I can just get roped into it and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate when you're watching something, you're like, I'm bored. Right. Can't pay attention.
I know, and it happens to me a lot. You know how many movies I start and then I drop them, you know?
Yeah, cough, cough, Irishman, cough, cough. It's like, I can't try and watch it one more time.
Yeah. But,
did you see the Oscars this weekend?
I saw part of it. You know, we went out to dinner, so I saw a little bit at home. My brother was over. And then we went out to eat, so they had the TV going on in the restaurant.
Yeah.
So I saw most of it, probably.
Yeah.
And did you see both the movies that were here did not win?
I know.
The movies we had here.
I saw their Instagram posts from the red carpet, though, which was really great.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
That was cool to see.
But they didn't win. I was so bummed out. You know, we had guests here from two of the movies, the short films that were nominated.
Yeah.
And it sucks when you get so far and then you don't win. You know?
I know. It's still an honor, though, to be nominated.
It really is,
just to be in that,
you
that
sit
top
there,
five.
Yeah. And you sit there, you're invited to the Oscars.
Yeah.
You rub elbows with all the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. I had a big weekend myself. This is actually why I couldn't come in Friday. My boss surprised me with tickets to the night before party and also Vanity Fair Oscar party.
Wow.
I know. So I had like an insane weekend. Like Saturday, like... I was like sitting on a couch next to Leonardo DiCaprio.
You were?
Yeah. And they had it at Fox Studios and they had this like really, so it was on one of the sound stages and they set up the perimeter with, they had like food and a bar, but they also had like little pop-up things. So it was nice and interactive. So you would go up, you could take like a photo at the pop-up or just like play a game or whatever it was. But yeah, there were so many people there. And then at the Vanity Fair party, like I met Brad Pitt. I talked to him for a couple minutes. I talked to Demi Moore for a couple of minutes.
Kidding.
Yeah, it was really cool. I talked
but
to Chelsea Handler.
It was probably weird to ask him for pictures.
I didn't ask for pictures.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't.
I know,
that's not really weird.
That's
not really my style.
Yeah.
I just wanted to just like chat with him. One thing that like I wanted to talk to Brad Pitt about actually that I didn't think of until yesterday morning, of course, was he said this thing about how he started his career by like right before he kind of like got bigger, he said he hid inside for 10 years and smoked pot. Really? And he said he was like really depressed and really out of it. And then he just finally like got out of that. And I went through that when I lived in New York for like 6 years. I kind of like stayed inside and just like hid and smoked pot for 6 years straight. And I kind of just wanted to talk to him about that. And I totally didn't even think of it in the moment. But he was really nice, really personable. Demi Moore was great. Chaka Khan, I was talking to her, just a couple people that happened to be with her. I didn't even recognize her, surprisingly. And so I was talking to this one guy, and then she walks right up over and she like kind of like said hello to me. And I was like, Chaka Khan just introduced herself to me. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So yeah. How did you start talking to Brad Pitt?
Well, my boss went up to him as well and talked to him. So we kind of just walked up to him and started a conversation. And then he turned and looked at me. He was like, hey, like I'm Brad. And I was like, hey, Brad, I'm Jennifer. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Not Jennifer Aniston.
Not Jennifer Aniston. Yeah.
Nevertheless.
Totally. Jen Belinsky. That's me. I talked to Chelsea Handler. I talked to Katie Couric. I talked to so many random people that night. It was wild.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I'm impressed.
I heard Zac Efron usually goes to the Vanity Fair party, but he wasn't there. So I missed you, boo boo. I was sad I didn't see him there, but whatever. Loser.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was the party at?
They did the Vanity Fair party at the Wallace Annenberg.
Where's that?
It's, I think, in Beverly Hills. It's like kind of right around there. It kind of looks like a mini. It was literally so cinematic. So it like kind of looks like a mini White House, and it was all lit up. It had giant, like long, slim, sleek letters that say Vanity Fair. And the lights were like lit up blue and purple. And there are all these like, you know, black SUVs and like Mercedes S-Class pulling up. And so we pull up and they have this like big red carpet walking up into the thing, and there's guards everywhere. It was literally out of a movie, like entering any high-end party in a movie. And so we walk in and they have these like long kind of like hallways for you to walk through. And then you walk into this room that has all of the press, and it's again, just like it is like you see on TV or in the movies. And they had this whole long walkway of people with cameras and like interviewers and stuff like that, reporters. And then they had a set of bleachers with all like the photography people, and they're like yelling, they're like over here, to your left, to your right, over here. And they're just like snap, snap, snap. And they had the whole step and repeat. And they had like three little Vanity Fair, like circular podium, not podiums, but just kind of like flat surfaces for them to stand on. And everyone just like walked down and did their, like, you know, poses, blah, blah, blah. And then we walk through that, and then you're in the party, and it was half indoor, half outdoor. And
yeah,
it was really great. Joaquin Phoenix was there, and
oh, wow.
He came way later. And
Did you go to a watching party or something?
No, I didn't. We were just scrambling to get ready before that. But yeah, I got a gown and everything, and it was great.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you went to an after party. It wasn't like before.
Yeah, it was the Oscar after party. Vanity Fair does one every year.
Right.
Yeah, so that was really cool. So definitely. A gown and everything. Wow. Yeah, it was a black and gold sequin gown. It was really great.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to see a picture.
Yeah, it's on my Instagram.
I can't imagine you in a gown.
I know, I was in a gown and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
So you felt like you belonged there.
Oh my gosh, I was not... And I'm a very nervous, anxious person. I was not nervous at all to go into either of these parties. I showed up and I was like, yeah, I was like so ready. I was like, we're here. Yeah. Let's go in there. Like, I can't wait to just get in there. You know, I felt
amazing. How sometimes when the way you get dressed also gives you confidence.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just felt so great just walking in there like, we're here, baby. Yeah. We're at Vanity Fair Oscar party. This is a big deal, you know?
Right.
It was great.
And perhaps one day you'll walk in as a celebrity.
You know.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm excited. It was really great. I mean, everyone I talked to was really, really nice. And
yeah,
it was awesome. Charlize Theron was there.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone was there.
So they came after the Oscars, they went there?
Yeah. Apparently Kim and Kanye were there. I don't really care that much about... I don't dislike the Kardashians. I would be more excited to meet Kanye. I'd be like, what's up, Kanye?
Really?
Yeah, totally. He's
So you like him?
Yeah, he's cool.
Even though he's kind of crazy.
I'm so into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm super into it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I like him kind of more now, you know, but I didn't really like him because he's sort of like weird.
He says what's on his mind.
Exactly. That's why I like him.
It's,
you know?
It's authentic, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who actually knows, but.
Yeah. But he doesn't give a shit, which is totally. Pretty good, you know.
Did you hear Joaquin's acceptance speech because he won Best Actor?
I know. I heard about it, but I didn't actually hear it.
I actually watched it yesterday. And I think he did like a portion of it was about the dairy industry, which was pretty powerful. And I thought that was fantastic. And I like applaud him for bringing that up. But I think that's the part that people are really swirling around. But I think there was so much more to his speech than just
He talked
that.
About his brother, I understand.
Yeah, he quoted his brother, a song lyric that his brother wrote, which was actually pretty moving. I think the lyric was, come to the rescue with love, run to the rescue with love, and peace will follow, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was like, I love that. And I was a big
now,
River
how did
Phoenix
he get
fan.
To the dairy thing, though? I mean, did that have anything to do with the movie?
Yeah, no. So he said, you know, he's kind of started out by saying that he didn't feel above anyone in that room or any of the nominees or anything like that. And he was like really fortunate to be in his position. And, you know, being in the position that he's in, you have the opportunity to give voice to the voiceless.
Right.
And that's kind of when he went into the dairy industry and started talking about like the farming and how animals are treated. And he just recently made a documentary about the dairy industry, and they show the cows like throats getting cut open and them getting shot and stuff like that. And it's I mean, it's
okay, so
tragic.
So he did have something to do with it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, yeah, if it wasn't in a movie like that, because it seemed kind of random from the Joker just to go to the dairy industry.
Well, he was more using his platform as a chance to speak out about something that means a lot to him.
Right.
Yeah, so that was cool. And he held up, because they were serving In-N-Out Burger. They had people with like little In-N-Out Burger costumes on at the event walking around. And so he had a vegan sign with him that said, like, go vegan and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Go vegan.
Go vegan.
Okay.
I love it.
Oh, wow. Have you been following the Harvey Weinstein trial?
Some of it. I heard that his defense attorney was interviewed. And, you know, the woman who interviewed her, the interview was almost over. And she said something like, have you ever been sexually assaulted? And the defense attorney goes, no, never. I would never put myself in that position. And that's when it just like blew up. Everyone was like, just screaming about it. Yeah. So, yeah. Can we just say that sometimes it's not about putting yourself in that position? Sometimes things happen beyond your control.
Exactly.
You know.
But the thing is that the saying is, and apparently they're able to prove this, is some of the women actually had a relationship with him afterwards, you know? I mean, it's not like they just... So it makes you wonder what really happened there, you know? Was it consensual?
That's not right.
And actually, some of them are saying it. Sometimes it was consensual, but the time they're complaining about was rape. So it's kind of like hard to figure out, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, there's
It's not like they flat out... say, you know, it was one time that they saw him and he raped them. I mean, he had seen them for many times.
Right.
They had relationships, you know? So it's hard to know, you know? It's a he said, she said, but I'm wondering how this is going to turn out, because there's several women that are talking about this, talking about his, he's got like a deformed something, you know? Like his dick or something. I don't know what they were saying.
Something like that.
They're saying deformed naked body, whatever that means. But
I definitely heard something about that.
Right. But that would, I mean, even a woman that was consensual with him would know that. So I don't think the question is whether they had sex, but whether it was consensual or not. But I don't know.
It's a hard thing, you know, when, I mean, I don't doubt that these women were in positions where they were assaulted.
Right.
I don't doubt that at all. But, I mean, it's also a different time, and you never know. there's just so many factors that we don't know because we weren't there.
Right.
That's the bottom line. But in other cases, what kills me are when people say, like, they went to his room and it happened. That's not okay. But then they went back to his hotel room, not him specifically, but any guy that is being accused.
Right.
Then they repeatedly went back to the hotel room night after night, and it kept happening. Stop going to the hotel room, first of all. After first time, that's it.
Even the first time, who meets you at a, you know, like for, you know, for anything professional, people don't meet you in hotel rooms, you know? I mean, come to my office.
Totally.
You know, I mean, so I'm surprised at women that actually go into hotel rooms, but
I personally would not.
Yeah. But some people are so desperate, you know, to get a part in a movie or
I do think that does happen sometimes. Know? I think
yeah.
I think there is a very, very real reality where people are having non-consensual there's non-consensual assault.
Right.
But I think that when people I think there are lots of cases where people think that they're going to get something else out of it. And it doesn't happen for them, and so in retaliation, they're calling shit on these people.
Right.
When really they're just they did it and they didn't want to, but they did it willingly anyway. Even though, I mean, there's been times that I've totally slept with people, and I was like, I'm not really into this, but I guess let's just get on with it already, you know.
Wow.
But I'm not gonna go say it wasn't consensual because I said okay to it, you know?
That's true, yeah.
Even if that person turned around and was a complete asshole to me or screwed me over somehow, I'm not just going to be like, oh, I wasn't on board with that. You didn't ask, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's things you do that make it consensual. But I think that there is a very real rape culture. And I think when people do pull stunts like this, I think it takes away from people who have truly, truly been assaulted.
That's true, yeah.
You know, and I don't think that's fair. I think when people do something that they're not really on board with, but say, okay, anyway, I think they just need to own it and say, I was trying to get more out of the situation than I got, and it didn't work out for me.
Admit that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would admit that, but that's me.
Not in trial, I don't think.
I wouldn't go to trial because I'd admit that to myself beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, there's this couple from Orange County, California surgeon, and his girlfriend. I don't know if you heard about this.
Mm-mm.
They were accused of drugging and raping women.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, I mean, everybody turned on them. They said that they were, like, drugging women and attracting them because they're an attractive couple and stuff, that they would attract people and, you know, so... apparently, the case was dropped because there's not enough evidence. And this couple is saying, you know, our lives was destroyed. Destroyed, you know. And just think about that, you know. I mean, they do admit to being swingers, but that doesn't mean anything, you know. Doesn't mean they raped anybody. And but sometimes it shows you being accused is enough to ruin you, you know? You don't even have to be guilty or anything.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's so... And
it's like
and
the movie When They See Us. Have you seen that?
No.
These five black boys from Harlem were accused of assaulting this woman in the park, and they had nothing to do with it, and they spent years and years and years in prison. It's a true story. They spent years and years in prison... And finally were exonerated.
Really?
Yeah. And
wow.
It just, imagine spending years in prison for something you didn't do.
Right.
You know?
You can't bring back all these years, you know?
They were 16 when they were put in prison.
Is that case with what they call the Wilding?
Yeah.
Really?
That's that one.
That's that one?
Yeah. That's a movie on Netflix. Or it's, it's a, I think, a 4-episode series on Netflix right now.
You should watch. I remember when that happened.
It's fantastic.
Probably like 20, 30 years ago,
in the 80s,
right?
I think, yeah.
80 years. Yeah, 80. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I remember that case. Everybody was like, you know, up in arms about it.
Yeah. Definitely. Wow. You should watch it. It's really, really
so
fantastic.
So they were exonerated, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a shitty thing to go through. How many years were they in prison?
I don't know. A long time. Some of them more than others. But one of them met this guy who actually he got into a fight with in prison. And that guy, they actually made up. The guy came and apologized to him, and he happened to be the one that actually assaulted the woman. So he came forward and admitted to it. And that's how his DNA was linked to it, because they found a sock with semen in it on the site, and it didn't match any of the five boys.
Oh, wow.
And so they were still like, they did it, they did it, they did it. And it finally matched this guy who came forward.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. It does happen. It does happen. You know, that's why. And I mean, because of that, many women that are legitimately attacked may not be believed, you know, because of these things. But what are you going to do, you know?
I know that's a really hard thing, too. It's very intimidating for women who have been assaulted to come forward about it, because they make it really, really hard for you to.
Yeah.
To tell your truth about it.
It is, you know, and it's got to be painful anyway. I mean, when women say, I was too ashamed to go anywhere, I felt it was my fault, things like this, I think
it can
totally happen, you know, when you're a young woman or something, you know.
People are more impressionable than others. They're, you know, not everyone's thinking about guarding their drink or, I mean, I'm a specifically neurotic person where I think about, like, every single, like, my mom made me like this. Like, I'm thinking about, is somebody gonna, like, put something in my sandwich if I get up and walk away? Like, I don't know what's going on here, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm very calculated with that kind of thing, and not everyone is as calculated, and we shouldn't have to be so calculated. Like, they make nail polish now that you can put on and dip your finger in your drink and it turns color if it's been drugged.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and wow, that's pretty cool.
It's really cool, but we shouldn't live in a world where that exists,
right?
You know?
But
we do.
Yeah. This world is a lot worse than, but you know what? It's been a lot worse. It used to be a lot worse. So
yeah.
I'm happy about that. I mean, there were times in the Middle Ages or whatever, you know, you wanted sex, you just take it. You don't even ask the woman or anything, you know? And they were treated like second class citizens.
Absolutely,
for many
were
years, you know. Finally, Pamela Anderson. Did you hear about her?
Mm-mm.
She married this guy John Peters, who is a film producer, 20 years older than her, and they divorced after 12 days. So apparently, what happened was they had been dating back in. Like 20 years ago or something, you know, they were dating, and then they rekindled this. And then, you know, they each have been married 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, actually, he wasn't. No, not him.
When do you get to a point where you're like, I don't need to get married, just like loving you is enough?
Right, exactly. Why get married so many times? I mean, she's been married 5 times.
Why do you have to lock it down, you know?
Yeah, but she's crazy, you know? I mean, she's just like, she probably needs that that security or something, you know? You never know. I mean, but she was married to Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. She was married to Kid Rock, if you remember.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
Rick Solomon.
I don't know who that is.
I know. That's the one that was in the sex tape with her, I guess.
Mm.
That's what it was. No, she was in the sex tape with Tommy Lee, but Rick Solomon had a sex tape with Paris Hilton, was it, or something, you know?
Ah, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's who it was. Okay, so that's him. And then John Peters, you know, which is this guy. And, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, be aware of marrying when you don't know who the hell you're marrying. And why would she marry a 70-something-year-old man? She's 52 already.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. But
who knows why people do the things that they do.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope to not get married 5 times, but you never know. There's like that saying,
know, right?
Like, when you say to somebody, like, oh, you look like my first wife or something, you know, oh, or God. You look like my first husband. But, like, what do you mean? You're like, you know, because we'll get divorced and I'll get another one.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Serial marrier. Yeah.
Totally.
All right. Well, Jen, that's it for today.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Tomorrow we're going to have guests. So,
great.
A guest. And the rest of the week we will too. So
excellent.
There'll be that. We appreciate your being patient with us for missing Friday and Monday, but we're here
We're here.
We're here for good.
We're here for you.
Yes.
Take care. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.